Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 371. This is the leftover edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're trying to smooth and streamline everything out, so we're cleaning out the cupboard as the case may be. We're trying to remove all the older stories that said, you know what, this would make a fantastic story, but I'm going to have to put it into another episode because I just don't have the time. Well, today is the day where I'm going to have to find the time, plain and simple. So hopefully everybody out there is having a very nice week, having a very smooth week. We around here have had no shortage of small issues. We've had a lot of productivity happen, and there's a lot of good things on the horizon. The other weird thing that's happened is I've completely switched over at home to Google Chrome as opposed to Firefox, because Firefox was using something like 700 megs of RAM every time I was trying to do a episode of the Caffeination. Yes, I know not very many people have 35 tabs all open at the same time as they're trying to edit Google Docs, but I happen to have that need. So I needed a lighter weight browser, so Google Chrome it is for right now. The only thing that's bothering me is on Firefox, rather, if you click with the scroll wheel on a link, it automatically opens it up in a new tab. I have to find all the fun little... I'm sure as soon as I find all the fun little quirks and tricks in Google Chrome, I'll be that much better off. But this is the leftover edition, so we have plenty of food stuff to round out the back end, because what would leftovers be without dessert? We have a lot of random cruft, a lot of geek cruft. I kind of threw out the title for News in Brief, because it was never brief, but it was still news, and it is still cruft. Everything's cruft in my book, so hopefully you're going to enjoy what we got coming at you here today. PodCamp Philly is literally right around the corner, so we're going to talk about that in a couple seconds, but I did want to talk to you just a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. There's never a time when you're going to find a way to replace that. However, there is a lot of business travel that happens that doesn't need to. There's a lot of extra time that is spent outside of the necessary pressing of the flesh, and it's often a complete waste of money to go from point A to point B. You can condense your day and make everything work a lot simpler if you try GoToMeeting. You can do more and travel less. With just a click, you can host sales presentations, start training sessions, or even demo a product right from the comfort of your desk. GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited meetings. Whether you host one every once in a while or 500 of them throughout the month, it's one low flat rate. Plus, you get voice over IP and phone conferencing included. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's 1 month of unlimited meetings free. For this special officer, for this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts for a free trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They're allowing us to do all kinds of crazy and fun stuff. We are going to dive right on into the show, because despite the fact that there's leftovers, it's always like leftover night at the house. It's like when you come home, you have a little bit of spaghetti there, you have a little bit of meatloaf, you have some questionable steak that you're not quite sure when it was cooked. You have all kinds of casseroles and all other manners of things. You have an entire countertop full of food that at one point in time was incredibly appetizing. All of this stuff is still quite appetizing. We're not keeping any of the moldy stuff around here, but there's just so much of it that it's going to be hard to cram into one extended metaphor, but I really do try. All right, in case you were wondering, this is the Caffeination Podcast. If you were looking for it, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is where this and all of its other little episodic friends are lovingly nestled. If you head on over there, you will also notice a interesting little button that is now taking up a huge portion of the right-hand top side of the screen. It says Call Me. If you click that button, you will you can have the option to put in your phone number, and your phone will ring with a direct line to the voicemail for the Caffeination Podcast. Even if you want to, you can actually make it so that I can't see your phone number. I don't really care one way or another. That's perfectly fine. But this is an easy way to add comments to the podcast if you'd like to be played on the show, no problem. We've had a couple people that actually suggested they would like to be able to put audio comments in there, and the call me button, unfortunately, is one size fits all, and that size is huge. So if nobody uses it for a little while, we're going to take it away, we're going to move it around, we're going to move it off to a different page. But for right now, it's there, it's large, it's in charge, feel free to use it. It's all kinds of fun. The comment line here for the Caffeination podcast is hosted by Google Voice, so it's an easy way to actually call in there. Alright, lots of fun stuff. First of all, 1,000 pardons to all the fine folks of California. Apparently, on the last show, I made an egregious error by suggesting that Monterey Bay was actually in Southern California, when actually it is in the middle of the state. So I've been corrected by not one, but two people from California, so 1,000 pardons. Unfortunately, I'm not very familiar with the geography of the great state of California, and yeah... I know certain things. I've been to San Francisco, loved that city, never really ventured outside of that beyond wine country. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to pay a little bit more attention when I just randomly throw things off the cuff. So 1,000 pardons to everybody out there for that. Now talking about a little bit of local geography. Now talking about a little bit of local geography, PodCamp Philadelphia is going to be happening at Temple University October 3rd and 4th, which coincidentally enough is several days away. So if you are so inclined to become a podcast listener, a podcast producer, or anything else like that, and you are going to be in the area this weekend, this very coming weekend, please feel free to head on over to PodCampPhilly.com to register. I'm going to be presenting a short little deal on graphic identity, and we're going to be working on some logos and stuff like that, so it's all a way to kind of bring some of the highfalutin talk of graphic design down to the common folks, so hopefully everybody can understand it. We're going to talk a little bit of color theory, we're going to be talking some other stuff, which might seem heady, might seem kind of ridiculous, but believe me, it actually does make sense when you kind of boil everything down. Alright, that's about all I got on PodCamp Philly, and I promise you I will not inflict myself upon you any further with PodCamp Philly after maybe two shows after this. So I'm probably going to do... just going to redo the presentation for the show and actually put it up for Sunday's episode possibly, and who knows what's going to happen on Wednesday, but I'm hoping to create a lot of media this weekend to actually get some good stuff going on. All right, next little thing we have up for you here in the random cruff is terrariums with legs, because who really doesn't need a terrarium with legs? Well, I personally don't, but these are really strange. They're like glass globules that actually sit on top of two strange little legs, and they're hand-blown, and... anything that says hand-blown, you know it's expensive. So I'm looking at them, and they're all interesting. They have little cacti living in there, all various forms of succulent plant. Not really sure exactly what the idea behind this is. I like cactuses as much as the next person, but I really don't understand why they need feet. So, I mean, that just might be me. So hopefully you might be able to head on over there and check a little bit out and maybe shed some light on that topic. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is a cat treehouse. I had to put this up there because I thought it was awesome. Thought it was actually kind of a little hilarious. In light of recent things that have happened here at the Caffeination Lair, the dog has been chasing the both of the cats around with reckless abandon. And since we redid the hardwood floors on the second floor, the cats have figured out how to run on it without slipping, and the dog not so much. So the cats will run and chase the dog into the slippery area of the floor, then make a quick turn, and the dog ends up down the stairs. So, that's all fun, but with the cat treehouse, it's a lovely little cedar house, and this is the kind of thing that I think our cats would actually appreciate, which is why I'm talking about it here. Because there's a lot of little hidey holes they could get away from the dog in. The only thing that I see as a problem is that there's only one way into the house in the bottom, so if the cat ends up going in there, then they're going to be trapped. But imagine a ficus tree or something like that, something that sized for in your house, and it has multi-level climby things all over it, but it has the standard, the U-shaped rug-covered platform, but it also has a lovely little cedar villa at the bottom. So unfortunately, it's not a real tree house. It's not a growing tree, but it's actually kind of a fashioned statement. So I like this because, I mean, the cat climbers are relatively neat and relatively interesting, but... They're kind of ugly. They're one size fits all. They're relatively purposeless beyond holding a cat. So when you see this, it's like, okay, there's actually a little bit of decorative art to it. It's a little bit of an interesting house plant hybrid, so I wanted to pass it along because I thought it was kind of crazy. Next little thing that we got for you up here is actually a really kind of fun thing. It's all the fun without the footprint, at least that's what I'm calling it, mini arcade cabinets. Now, if in case you were unaware, MAME cabinets, M-A-M-E, are... cabinets that are designed to play MAME ROMs. Now, MAME was the programming language, basically, that all the different stuff like Pac-Man and the really old classic arcade games were kind of done with. So if you have a MAME cabinet, you can basically load whatever ROM you want into them. And there's a gentleman over here, this is actually from Hackaday.com, who makes miniature versions of these. Now, first of all, I love the old school arcade cabinets. Specifically, my favorite one was Dig Dug. I don't know why, but I really love that game. I actually bought it on the Xbox Live Arcade, and I've been playing it for countless hours. But that's neither here nor there. The beauty of the arcade cabinet, the fact they were so big and they were so well designed and so artistically emotive, it was kind of funny to see them transformed over the years into these like lifeless little consoles. So this person's kind of taken that back to its roots and actually made miniature versions of these. So rather than having a full TV screen in there, it actually has a 5-inch PlayStation LCD screen. So the entire cabinet is only 20 inches high, so it looks kind of like a Mac Classic, but it still plays all kinds of interesting little games. They have an Ave Phoenix Mini, so there's a whole bunch of videos over there, so you can actually see them in comparison to their larger brethren. I love this idea. I can't get enough of it. All right, next little thing that we have up for you here is a graphic violence sling. Thanks to my friend Karen from Facebook for putting this up there. This is just fantastic. I am slightly clumsy. Let's just put it out there. I have broken more things than I care to remember, and more often than not, when I look at the medical forms and they say, list your past surgeries, and they have that tiny little two lines, I laugh with reckless abandon. Because pretty much all the things that have happened to me over my lifetime probably can't fit even into the front page of that. So I kind of just, give them the high points. Yeah, hey, I broke this, slit that, had this operation, bone graft here, a little nip tuck and all that other stuff. But, I still look the same way, so I don't understand. But that's neither here nor there. This is an interesting little idea because it's actually it takes the art beyond the cast. I mean, we've all seen casts that have colors on them. We've all seen people do really cool art on the casts themselves, but what happens if you have like an Ace bandage wrap or something like that? You just have to have your arm in a sling, but you really don't have anything to do beyond that. Well, slings are kind of irritating. They're probably, next to crutches, they are my least favorite medical accoutrement. So when you're looking at these, there's actually a design on the outside of the sling to show you, theoretically, how you got hurt. So there's a stick figure being chased by a dog. There's another figure falling down the stairs. There's a sports injury one where there's a player taking one in the chest from a soccer ball. And last but probably my favorite is a much larger stick figure attacking a smaller stick figure. So I thought this was pretty cool, and I wanted to kind of pass it along to other people out there. No word on the actual price of these things, but you know what? I think that there's going to be a large market for them. All right. Next little thing we have for you here is, sure, why not, Neon Tetris on skateboards. So a bunch of skateboarders actually took to a very large hill in San Francisco. That's not saying much, because San Francisco is rather a collection of large hills. That much I do know, all of you California people. I walked all over San Francisco. There's hills there. Not quite mountains, but hills. So hopefully I'm not going to get corrected on that one. But there was 36 skaters actually took to the streets of San Francisco with electroluminescent wiring kind of strung to their hats, and they were in the very iconic Tetris shapes. Now, when I'm sending you over to geekalohi.com, I don't want you to necessarily read the information that's below there, because more often than not, the stuff that's on that site is good, but the content's great, but the way that they describe it, the editorial nature of the things that go along with it, really lacks some civility on one hand, and kind of, I don't know, they lack a little panache. I mean, some of them are kind of funny, but I think they strive too hard for that shock jock kind of laugh here and there, and they kind of miss some opportunities to actually make really good commentary on things. But that's that's going beyond what we're saying here. It's a really kind of a fun video, and you can actually see them skating down at night with all kinds of different shapes as they end up into the final large brick, and then there's a interesting little light show that happens on after that, so you can watch the video video on over there. I like the fact that there's so many different Tetris projects out there. I think it's a testament to the fact that the video game is really still ingrained itself in popular culture, despite the fact that all the people who are currently doing these kind of things probably never played the original on a regular Nintendo. They might have played, I don't know, any one of the number of clones that followed after it. But the people who are intimately familiar with the original series of these things, it's kind of funny because everybody still has the music stuck in your head. And I'm not going to go on singing it, but you all know what I'm talking about. All right, that about wraps up the Random Cruft section here for the Caffeination Podcast. Just a quick little reminder, we are, in fact, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can head on over to techpodcasts.com and check out all the other shows, including us, that have created family-friendly and educational content. I gotta say, if you have a tech podcast, if you have a podcast that in any way could be considered geeky or techy, then you might want to head on over there and sign up. It's a great group of podcasts. So I think we almost have another 100 people in the network right now, and I can't say enough good things about the connections that I've made and the ability to actually leverage your content in a much more selective environment. So there's a couple requirements to actually getting into the network, but any good network's going to have requirements. Any good society has some rules that kind of allow you to flourish within them. So hopefully you can head on over there and check that out. All right, next little thing we got up for you here is the Geek Cruft section. One of my favorite. I just love that, Geek Cruft. I might have to make a t-shirt up with that on it. The first thing up we hear is Whooper goes public with pricing. Now, Whooper is a stat program that we have previously reviewed here in the Caffeination Podcast. They're really cool because they have up-to-the-minute live stats that were actually, you could actually chat with people you saw appearing on your blog. Google Analytics is semi-live. Like, you'll see the visitors, but there's no real interaction. You can't see them popping up geolocation style. So you can't see, okay, wow, there's somebody actually sitting on my website from Australia right now. Whooper really does allow you to do a lot of really cool stuff, and it gives you a different view, and any stats nerd out there is going to really love to dig through it. But they have a couple different pricing tiers. They have free, personal, professional, business 2, and business 3. Anywhere from free, which the free plan actually is, has a monthly page view limit of 30,000. There's storage 3, SSL support no, and only one user. You can move up to a 495, that gives you up to 100,000 page views, and storage for 6. I'm not sure if that means that you can that you actually have storage for 6 different domains or whatever, but it's still really kind of cool. If you have an existing Whooper account, then it's going to be converted over to free not too long from now. The other thing is that if you have a commercial site that you really, they're kind of going on the honor system, they're saying basically if you make a living off of your website and you want to use Whooper, then help them make a living too. That's why they have a plan that's at low cost for $4.95 a month. So I'm really kind of surprised and very, very happy at seeing some of the price points come out. I gotta admit, I didn't think there would be anything within a range that I could actually afford. So for right now, I'm gonna stick with the Google Analytics because I just don't like recurring monthly fees. It's just something that I'm not good with. And until everything gets all settled around here, I'm trying to keep the costs as low as possible. But I gotta tell you, if things turn around the way that I'm hoping they will, then I'm definitely gonna consider becoming a Whooper customer because they really do give you an interesting little view into the dynamic of who's on your website. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is one of my absolute favorite sites on the internet, informationarchitects.jp. Well, they have a great article out there about Links in Print, the story of a beautiful failure. Now, it's very rare, if nigh impossible, to actually find a design firm that is this open and transparent about the bidding process. And I'm just going to read you a small excerpt of what they said. But in January 2009, they were invited to take part in a paid pitch for the print redesign of a Swiss newspaper. Now, I'm not sure if a paid pitch meant that they actually had to pay to participate into it, kind of like a bidding system that way, or if they were paid to actually do the work, so that way it wasn't on spec. But either way, there were 5 total agencies that were actually in this pitch, and they were the only web-based agency that was actually in there. And What they do in this article is they give you their design from soup to nuts, from front to back, on how they came about and how they picked apart the essence of what a newspaper should be and how they thought the readability could be increased and a whole bunch of other issues that exist between newspaper and web. They said there should be no difference between the design of the two. And I got to tell you, looking at their version of the newspaper, it is absolutely beautiful. And I'm really, really kind of emboldened after seeing some of their decisions to say, you know what, next time that I'm in a bidding process or something like that, I'm thinking I'm going to be a little bit more transparent after the fact, where I'm going to show other people, this is what I did, this is why. Because as soon as you start opening that dialogue, you're going to really get a lot of interesting information flowing to and from. So I highly suggest, in case you are in the design profession, or if you just like to see a really beautifully designed site and some of the most interesting information that's out there, head on over to informationarchitects.jp, and you can see their latest article about their redesign of the actual content for the newspaper. It's an interesting challenge, and in fact, they actually have the links in the newspaper stories that were actually underlined in blue, which I thought was fantastic, so I wanted to kind of pass it along. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is Hacking Big Mouth Billy Bass. There's a really hilarious video that's actually a way to hack the microcontroller that's in the old iconic Singing Fish wall placard that allows you to put other sound bites into it. So I thought that was hilarious. They have things from Monty Python with the knights who say icky, 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 pakang, zip, pop, noip. And they have the knights who say knee. They also have a clip from Homer. They have a clip from Office Space. And it's just, it looks that much funnier to see these clips coming out of the mouth of a fish. Even an emotive fish that swishes its tail angrily during part of an Office Space rant. The next little story I found for you is actually from over at winnoob.com. It's a piranha plant sculpture. This person has taken the idea of a piranha plant from the iconic piranha plants from the Mario Brothers world and turned them into some kind of grotesque, insane sculpture. They have two different versions of it out there. The one where the leaves are up nice and high and it doesn't look nearly as angry, and the other one where it's really kind of a visceral, hate-filled, giant-toothed plant. And you're looking at this, and the video that they actually make shows you from front to back how they made this thing. And it's stunning because, on the one hand, it gives you a little bit of a glimpse inside the design process of a sculptor. So you can actually see them taking things apart, and you can really kind of appreciate how things are created from the final product that most of us see and enjoy to going all the way back to just like a box of Sculpey. It's like, okay, well, how do I get from point A to point B? Well, you break things down into manageable parts and you work from there. So if you can use that same kind of compartmentalization tactics in your daily life, imagine what you could accomplish if instead of trying to just make a piranha plant, you started out by making some teeth, and then you started out by making a stem, and then you started out by making the top of the head and saying, okay, well, how am I going to add some kind of texture to it? And then you find out aluminum foil adds texture to things. I mean, it's just it's a complete additive design process that's really kind of fun to follow. So I wanted to share that with the group. Next little thing we have up for you here, we're heading back into Lego land with a Lego boombox. This is actually an officially branded Lego boombox. At least that's what they're calling. It's a CD player. It's a radio. It's a clock radio. It's probably a clock CD player as well. Here's the funny thing about it. They show you stacking two of them on top of each other. They do have the ability, as Legos are wont to do, as stacking and building things out of them. Except here's the problem. If they were going to make a component stereo system and make it out of Lego blocks this size, I would think it would be a fantastic idea. It'd be a fantastic implementation of what Lego blocks could do and how they could kind of connect. And if somehow they could make them connect by just sitting them on top of each other, that would be fantastic as well. But no, nobody's going to have more than one clock radio in a room, so there's no point in having them stack, even though they can, other than for storage. So if your family is the kind of family that has clock radios in every room of the house, and every year when you go on vacation you want to make sure that they're all locked up nice and tight, then this is probably the thing for you. But if you're the rest 99% of the world and you probably only have one clock radio per bedroom, then this probably isn't a good spending of $40 on your your part. All right, next little thing. Something a little bit more interesting dealing with Legos. This is called a Lego Star Wars armor case for the DS Lite. Actually has buildable Lego surface on it. So it's a case that surrounds the Nintendo DS in the very easiest of descriptions. What the cool thing about it is on the very top cover of the DS, what they actually have here is a Lego block plate so that you can actually attach blocks and buildable pieces to it. The one piece that they show you it working with is actually a design from Lego Star Wars, but this is really, really cool. So technically, you could build whatever kind of sculpture you wanted on top of your DS. Not saying that you're going to do it, but just one of those things. This is actually Lego kind of trying to extend their brand and extend it into things that make sense. It's like, okay, so if we're going to build something with Legos and we're going to slap the Lego branding on it, how about making it so that you can actually use Lego blocks with it? There's no point to actually doing it on a DS case, but it just makes it look cool. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is Productivity Tools Combine. It's kind of like Wonder Twins Activate. But this is a new and interesting way of using two very popular productivity tools, the first of which being Evernote, which I cannot live without, and the second of which being Google Reader, which I need to start using more often. There's actually a way to add an Evernote button into Google Reader so that when you're reading something and you want to save it for posterity's sake, you can actually click up there and send it directly there. I thought that would fit. That was fantastic, and it's a way of really archiving the stories that you're reading. Now, for those of you who are not in the know, Google Reader is a way from reading news from disparate sites all over the internet via RSS. You can actually listen to my podcast inside of Google Reader. It's really kind of good about that kind of stuff. There's a whole bunch of other things that you can do with Google Reader. There's fun and interesting facts that you can actually share newsworthy stories with other people by putting them up in your shared bin. You can post interesting articles like that. So it's a wonderful tool. And Evernote is a tool that has an elephant for a logo because an elephant never forgets. The idea behind it is that you can take pictures with your cell phone of anything. You can take pictures or draw something on a pocket PC. You can add files to this thing on your desktop, and it puts it into a binder. Basically, it's a way of saving content for later. It's a way of remembering. So if you have a whole big long list of people that you need to contact, phone numbers that you need to remember, rather than trying to find the piece of papers later on, if you take a good quality picture with your cell phone and you send it to Evernote, you can actually search for the text inside of the picture. It's really fantastic that way. So hopefully you head on over there and check that out. And then the last little thing we got for you here for the Geek Cruft section at the Caffeination podcast is Auto-Tune the News. It's a stunning editing job of an interesting effect called Auto-Tune. If you've ever heard the singer T-Pain, then you understand the kind of thing that he brings to music videos. This is actually a link that I found via Chuck, so thank you very much, Chuck, for talking about this over on Facebook. But this is beautiful. Whether or not you agree with anything that they say in this, it's a way of chopping up the news, is mashing and remixing the culture that currently exists, adding a couple new flavors on your own, and you really come up with something that's just a stunning editing job. So I just wanted to kind of put it up there, and hopefully you enjoy that. You can head on over there and check that out. That about wraps it up here for the Geek Cruft section, the Caffeination Podcast, diving on into the food and caffeinated bits. All right, first story that we have up here is an incredibly somber one. One of my favorite regions in the world to enjoy coffee from is Sumatra. Now, for those of you who may not know, Sumatra was actually hit with a massive and devastating earthquake recently. There were tsunamis and everything, and the entirety of Indonesia was actually affected. And I'm not saying this because, you know, oh no, coffee crops are going to be affected or anything like that. What I'm saying this is, this is one of those things where you kind of look, and despite the fact that, you know, there might be damage to the crop or something like that down the line, there's going to be instances where people are called on to ask for aid. You know, the Red Cross is going to hopefully put information out about donating to things like that. And I'm always of the mind that if you enjoy the products from an area, or if you enjoy things that something, you know, that someplace produces before they're hit by a tragedy, it's that much more of a reason to get involved when something untoward does happen. So I just want to kind of push it out there and say that our thoughts are with the people in Sumatra. All right, now taking this and turning it a little bit around, I don't know if very many of you out there have ever heard of Zay Frank and his year-long journey through insanity called The Show. And I've watched all of it. I unfortunately came in way too late to actually get involved in a lot of the ins and outs of what was happening on the show. But if you actually head on over there and you watch this one special episode, then you're going to hear him talk about something called a pan keg. Now, I've never tried it, but I hadn't tried it up until this past week, and I want to report back. Now, I'm not one for runny eggs, so I had to modify the recipe a little bit. But here's how it works. You take a lovely pan that you're going to fry some stuff on, and you actually pour the pancake batter there. And as soon as you see the holes and bubbles appear in the top, which Zay actually calls bonding holes, you take your spatula, you stick it under there, you pull the pancake up, you crack an egg, and then you flip the pancake on top of it. And as you're doing this, it actually becomes a completely new food, not unlike a turducken. It's both pancake and egg. It's both sweet and savory, and it's really, really good. So instead of cracking an egg and putting it under there, I actually mixed up a little bit of scrambled egg, a little omelet style, threw it down under there, and I made a bunch of them for breakfast one morning. I can't tell you enough how filling and how satisfying the combination is, so I wanted to share with the rest of the group. Then, while I was looking for this episode, I actually came across a weird YouTube video called Pancakes 2, Pancakes for Your Face. It's a crazy little stop-motion animation about somebody called Pancake Man, him creating a beautifully edited montage of how he goes about creating pancakes, and then, you know, through some kind of mystical forces that only Pancake Man knows about, and then his friend stealing pancakes from him, and so hilarity ensues. I just wanted to share that with the group as well. Next little thing we have up for you here is a lovely article slash video from over at Wired. In honor of Oktoberfest, which we are currently in the middle of, there's a lovely little video on how you too can make a pretzel from scratch. Not a soft pretzel like we enjoy here in Philadelphia, but a different kind of pretzel. So I just wanted to share that. Hopefully somebody else might try this. I'm a little bit leery about doing this because I don't know. I really enjoy pretzels. I really enjoy soft pretzels. And I don't know if I want to do something that it's going to potentially damage my love for pretzels. I'm not saying that I'm a bad cook or anything. I'm a much better cook than I am a baker, I guess is the easiest way to explain. I guess I'm not really fond of measuring exactly. I think that's the difference between the two entities. It's like, you know, on the one hand, you can kind of eyeball, you know, half a teaspoon of salt when you're throwing it into a batch of chili, but if you're trying to do it to a piece of baking that you're working on, then, you know, the salt has chemical reactions with other things, and you have to have certain things that happen to make the yeast rise, and there's just a whole lot more chemistry involved in it. So I think I'm a lot better off with the loosey-goosey approach to cooking. So if somebody else says it's really easy and it's harder to mess up, maybe I'll give it a shot, but the fine folks over Wired seem to enjoy it. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is a life-size Wii cake with two Miis on top of it. Normally, a life-size Wii with two little controllers and a game on it. Game in question is Lego Star Wars, and the two Miis up on top are actually sparring with what I can only assume to be cakey or fondant lightsabers. I love this. I thought it was hilarious, and I wanted to pass it along. They're really, really well done. All of the art that's on here is, like, next to perfect. Now, speaking of next to perfect cakes, this is another leftover from another episode that I was going to talk about. It's called Geek So Good You Can Eat It. 17 amazing sci-fi themed cakes, from an AT-AT with a whole bunch of little Ewok cupcakes around it, to the Back to the Future Town Square, to the Star Wars Death Star. You have Zombie Spider-Man and Mary Jane. You have Borg Cubes. You have Terry Pratchett's Discworld, which is a great, great a series of books, and it's actually very, very accurate to what Terry Pratchett has in there. There's a giant turtle that actually supposedly supports the world and has four little elephants under it as well, and whenever you see an earthquake or something, it's the turtle shimmying or shifting. So you can actually head on over there and see all these different things. My two favorite have to be, actually, there's also a Minas Tirith cake, and I am a huge Lord of the Rings nerd, so Minas Tirith and the Terry Pratchett Discworld get my vote with a close close third being the zombie Spider-Man and Mary Jane. So hopefully you can head on over there and peruse the lovely little goodies that they have there. All right, we have a couple little new inventions in the world of coffee, and then we're going to head you out on your way. First thing, we have coffee to go. Now, this is an interesting little idea. Basically, if you have one of the sets of luggage that have the extendable handle, if you've ever tried carrying a cup of coffee when you're carrying your luggage at the same point in time, it's usually an utter failure. The idea behind this is that you have a clip swivel coffee cup holder that suspends itself between the two bars of the handle extended from your bag. This is a really cool idea, so I just wanted to share that interesting little video with you. It's a new product that's coming out. Next little thing we have up here is a smug mug. A smug mug is a mug that has RFID enabled gadgetry attached to it. So there's actually an online profile. You can add money to it, and the idea behind these things is that you'd be able to leave your mug on the counter, and that a smug mug enabled establishment would actually be able to scan your mug, tell which kind of coffee you wanted to put in the mug, and charge you based on the account. So there's a couple little there's a coffee place that's actually looking to have this implemented. It's called Stone Creek Coffee. So this is really interesting. It's an easier way for people to get tracked, and the larger your database is on anybody, the bit more valuable it becomes. I'm not really a fan of deferred payment systems. I like all the money coming out of the same wallet, if you know what I mean, but it's kind of like the same idea as recharging a Starbucks gift card. It's like, you know, you might eventually use all the money that's on there, but I like to have a little bit more fluidity to my assets. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is a basics of a formal cupping at home. If you are interested in coffee, and even the slightest, and you really wanted to kind of find the way that the professionals taste coffee, there's an interesting little expose, or it's not really an expose, it's an interesting little article on how you too can brew a lot of coffee in a very short amount of time to hopefully sample a lot of the different pieces of lovely roasts that are out there. I put this up there for two reasons. First of all, because I thought it was a great article, and second of all, because I'm going to be doing this in a very short order, because we are getting a ton of coffee shipped in on Monday. So I'm going to be actually cupping the roasts after I'm done, so to hopefully fine tune my roasting skill a little bit. So I wanted to pass it along, and I also wanted to kind of talk about it just so that I would know and would remember. And then the last little thing we have up for you here at PodCamp Philly, I'm going to be giving out a couple of these posters. It's the origin of coffee. It's coffee cultivation. The way I'm describing it is the history of coffee cultivation from its origins in Ethiopia to the finality of your cup. And there's a couple different little things that are going here. It actually shows you where all of the different coffee from around the globe came from. There's a lot of different areas that are common now that don't actually exist on this map because it was harder to actually find where all the coffee went to. For instance, Colombia is nowhere on this little graph, and it could have come from any one of the number of countries that surround Colombia that actually did make it here. But it's really kind of interesting to see the large part of the dispersion of coffee that actually the French King Louis XIV actually played, and it also kind of shows you why there's so little genetic diversity in coffee throughout the world. It's because most of the coffee in the world actually came from just a couple plants that King Louis XIV actually had shipped to places after his death. So this is the larger and more interesting version. You can actually purchase it from over at Cafe Press if you are so inclined. So I'm going to be putting a version of it up on Flickr so you can actually see it in better detail. But I just wanted to share with the group. All right, that has been Caffeination number 371. Yes, it's a huge, long episode that we're hopefully going to cull down to close to the same time limit, but we're a little bit over now. I know I had a lot of stops and starts. Thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 371, as I said before. You can find this and all the other episodes at www.caffeination.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people. Thank you.